Hello, everybody. We're so glad you could join us this morning. We really appreciate it for our Sunday morning roundtable discussion with the subject of soul and body. We are recording today from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent in Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. And we will start with our morning prayer.
I'm reading today from Collectania Addenda, page 48. It says, our home is in mind, in spiritual consciousness, the eternal harmony of soul. The builder and maker of this home is mind. It is built and established in the eternal. Nothing can destroy the harmony of our home. Mind fills it with the glories of the kingdom of God. No fear of sin, sickness, or death can enter this home, no sense of poverty or want. No lack of supply has any presence or place here. These are illusions, nothing but malicious animal magnetism, sin, a belief in a power apart from God. They cannot find us, for we dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, and we are eternally conscious of the infinite riches and abundance of love. God is our supply, is inexhaustible. The lie that argues poverty does not know us. We do not know it, cannot see, fear, hear, or manifest it. For we are living in God. God governs our home. Truth fills our household, is recognized, received, and sought. There is no resistance, no rejection, no indifference. Love destroys all unlike itself, removes all that is offensive. Mary Baker Eddy.
Beautiful. Thank you, Florence. Okay, the watching point, Karen.
Watch number 403. Watch that you realize that it is more important to learn what man is than what man is not. Through the handling of error, we learn what man is not. And through the reflection of divine mind, we learn what man is. Students should never become so absorbed in working to learn what man is not, that they do not sufficiently emphasize the sequence that leads to the recognition of what man is as God's reflection. Mrs. Eddy saw the danger of placing too much emphasis on the negative side of our work when she directed the students as follows, quote, let your minds go out every 2 hours. All is peace, goodwill, love, etc. Say nothing of error. Confine your thoughts to the right side. End quote. Sometimes students work so assiduously for human harmony that they forget to continue this effort to the point of realizing divine harmony. Human harmony is cleaning a bottle, whereas divine harmony is filling it with the inspiration of good. Many practitioners clean the bottle for their patients and go no further. They have not really done them any good, nor does their work deserve to be called anything but mind cure. The true Christian scientist never leaves his patient until he has filled the latter's consciousness, if possible, with the Spirit of God.
Thank you. Okay, comments?
Well, the Spirit of God is what we should be really desiring more than anything in to fill our consciousness, because that's where the power is and that's what does the work. It's not just words, but it's the Spirit. And
thank you.
Yeah, and if you have to work at it, work on the positive side. Repeat the truth often enough until you finally believe it. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the accent will get the positive, the limit, negative, and don't mess with Mr. In Between.
That's right.
We also have to realize what the humility that was just read about home. You know, this is something that no one can be stripped of, and this is something that every child of God has the right to have and to express.
Yes, thank you.
I think this is why, the instruction was to not dwell too much on the negative. We acknowledge the negative, acknowledges its powerlessness, but then back on the truth and more of the truth. What is it? One denial and 10 affirmations or something is the instruction.
Exactly right. Yes. You just touch lightly on the problem, whatever it is. Otherwise, you build a problem up in your mind and you're causing more problems than you did before. So this is an important watching point indeed. Yeah. I remember years ago when Mrs. Evans would have classes, we would have to give treatments. She'd give us certain topics and we would write out treatments. And I forget what the problem was, but when I gave my treatment, it was all about the negative. It was just, you know, handling this and that and this and that. And honestly, after hearing it, you know, it was depressing. It wasn't helpful. So that was a big shock to me. I mean, this was very early on, but I didn't realize I was doing that, but I never forgot it. And that's when she said, 10 affirmations, 1 denial. Don't get carried away with what's wrong. What's right. Very, very important.
We do that so naturally in our lives.
Pardon me?
We just do that so naturally in our lives. We walk around, we see things like, you know, the sun rising and setting and things that are just so obviously not according to what our eyes, but we just so naturally know what the truth is. We don't even think about it, but that's what we hold in our thought. And so sometimes I remind myself that I don't go around knowing that, no, the earth is not flat. The sun is not rising. I don't even have to rehearse that over in my thought anymore. It just is. And we can be grateful for it, but we certainly don't work on keeping it from overtaking the wrong picture, overtaking our thought. We just don't. So it's the same principle. And that helps to remind me.
That's very good. And as you grow in the science, you don't have to keep saying, I know 2 + 2 = 5, to your point. You don't go around thinking that all the time. You know the truth about it. And it comes naturally and easily. Now, as a beginner, sometimes maybe you've thought 2 + 2 = 5 all your life, or that the earth is flat. Then it might take a little work to get out of that bad habit. But once you do, you leave all that behind you and stay with the truth.
I was going to say, I like this. Let your minds go out every 2 hours. All is peace, goodwill, love. Say nothing of error. Confine your thoughts to the right side. I think it's a nice, beautiful reminder. I looked at it.
Thank you. Yes. And that is on our list of things to handle daily. Very, very good. That's why people can have their timers on every hour, even to remind you of this important fact, because it's easy too to go around and listen to the news or see this or that or this or that and then start taking in the negative. So you have to cleanse yourself of that.
And today is probably, instead of every 2 hours, it should be every 2 minutes. Well, in Mrs. Eddy's day, you know, they didn't have the internet, they didn't have television, they didn't have radio, they didn't have instant, nonstop news about what's going on around the world to mesmerize you into thinking that the world is a horrible place and that, you know, mankind is full of evil people. Today, we're bombarded with 24/7, you know, mesmerism, and so it's it's got to be more than every 2 hours to counteract what we're being bombarded with today.
Well, if we're praying consistently, then we should just be thinking right most of the time. And peace in prayer, you know, so thinking love, give out, let it go out, love instead.
And it's so much of human opinions that we hear every second throughout all the media, and we need to handle that so carefully. And of course, with AI, it's even more. It just gives you, it doesn't give you the definition of something. It just gives you their opinion of something. And that's what comes up now first, right?
That's why we're so careful about what we even watch or listen to.
Most of it is just human opinion, this one's opinion or that one's opinion. And what does Mrs. Eddy say about opinion? Human opinion is
valueless. Valueless.
Thank you.
So don't turn it on in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. You do have to know what's going on. I mean, you do, but again, one to ten. So
a light touch,
a headline or something, but don't go into all the gory details of whatever it is. And some papers are far worse than others. So be careful. And also, if you get any of it on television, some are far worse than others. So just be careful about what you watch and take in or listen to. Or, you know, you get it from other people, your friends or somebody talking about it. To be very wise with this.
And you know, knowing that divine mind is governing still, no matter AI, no matter what, divine mind is governing, is so wonderful and so important to have that thought all the time. I don't listen to the news in any form, but I do know that when divine mind wants me to pray about something, which is kind of often actually, I am going to know those news no matter what. Someone will tell me, or I turn my gaze to something, and there it is, my homework, hey, pray for this. That is because divine mind is governing no matter what. We will know, and we can trust that.
Thank you. That's very excellent. That is very true. That's how I feel most of the time as well. If there's something I need to know, I will know it. I don't have to go seeking it out. Yep.
Because yes. That brings up a very important thing that I just read in the Greco, Doris Greco, by recorded in the last chapter, 42, I think it was, in the last volume, how during the next friend suit, she was interviewed so many times by reporters to make sure she was sane. But this one reporter reported how Mrs. Eddy, and back then, if anything that went on outside of the United States, it's very difficult to know what was going on in the rest of the world, let alone in our own country back in her day. What she knew about China, this guy wanted to discuss, you know, something to clarify with him how she thought, you know, that she was clear about things. She started a conversation, or he started, and she just took off on all of the things that were going on in China. Now, I don't know how somebody in her day knew so much about China, but I thought to myself, the only way she knew what she knew about was through God. God told her. And I mean, wow, this is really, we can do it. If we're really in tune, we can know everything we need to know all over the world without listening to.
And amen.
She certainly is. Yes, thank you. And Science and Health says, you know, when you're in the right mind, you know the past, the present, and the future, all that you need to know. God is all knowing. We are as well. So, and that is truly the way to know. And also, then you're not, it's not filtering through human opinions. You will know the truth about what's going on. It's not all, yeah. Well, this one says this or that, because many people are deluded by all these human opinions. They're very off on the wrong track because they're listening to human opinions, which are valueless. So when you get it straight from God, you will know the truth about any situation. In Pulpit and Press, I love this. I've studied it a lot. Harry read it in his readings a few weeks ago. She talks about, with the mind's eye glanced at the direful scenes of the war between China and Japan. Okay, well, we can put with the mind's eye all the stuff that's going on today. And then imagine yourselves in a poorly barricaded force, fiercely besieged by the enemy. Would you rush forth single-handed to combat the foe? Nay, you would rather strengthen your citadel by every means in your power and remain within the walls for its defense. Likewise, should we do as metaphysicians and Christian scientists? The real house in which we live and move and have our being is Spirit God, the eternal harmony of infinite soul. The enemy we confront would overthrow this sublime fortress, and it behooves us to defend our heritage. How can we do this Christianly scientific work? By entrenching ourselves in the knowledge that our true temple is no human fabrication, but the superstructure of truth, reared on the foundation of love and pinnacled in life. Such being its nature, how can our godly temple possibly be demolished or even disturbed? And then, if you maintain this position, who or what can cause you to sin or suffer? It's a very, very good recipe for how to keep out of this mortal mind fray. You don't rush out and think you can do something. You stay in your citadel and know the truth and work from there. And you will find you don't lose your peace. You will keep it. And this is how we do this Christianly scientific work. It's the first couple pages of Pulpit and Press. And it talks again about our home, which Florence read for us today in the prayer, and our heavenly home, the kingdom of God. Stay within it, dwelling in the house of the Lord all the days of my life.
And remember, and I have to remind myself, because this is not easy to remember, it's my own vision that I need to work on. I don't have to fix something out there. I don't have to change something out there. In fact, I can't. All I can do is clear my own vision, and it'll have and it'll have positive impact on people and things around me.
Yeah,
thank you.
But it's never really out there.
No, it isn't. It's all within ourselves, and we're going to get into that in our discussion today on soul and body. Chardell, will you read what you sent?
Yes. I took from Science and Health, number 10, 302, quote, spiritual man is God, the divine principle of all being. And then I found Spiritual Man by Peter V. Ross. Mrs. Eddy makes perfect God and perfect man the inspiring starting point in Christian Science practice. While we may concede that man is spiritual and perfect, we are inclined to think of him as a vapory creature somewhere away in the clouds, instead of recognizing that he is here and now, the ever-present representation of the Almighty. Indeed, this perfect man, this man of divine intelligence and imperishable life, this man with a world of opportunity and usefulness stretching out before him, is none other than yourself, your true self. Keep in mind, when reading about spiritual man or immortal man or the image and likeness of God, that you are reading about yourself. Remember that when a Christian scientist, in his attempt to break some dream of suffering, he is talking to you of the perfect man. He is speaking of you.
Thank you. Yeah, very important that we understand this. In the lesson, it says, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? This is very profound.
I love that. I have to say, I just love that.
I know. It's wonderful. And then Mrs. Eddy's definition of temple, body, the idea of life, substance, and intelligence, the superstructure of truth, the shrine of love. When you think of your body, that's what you think of. And that includes soul, because that is soul. That's expression of soul. And it's one. It's not this horrible thing you're trying to get rid of. I'm going to refer to there two today that I will refer to on body articles. The first one, Martha Wilcox, she wrote two large articles on body, but she addresses this where she says, many students believe their present bodies are material and that somehow they must get rid of them. This thought is also self-destructive and is a claim of annihilation. Our body is the identity of mind and is as eternal as mind. There can be no separation of mind and body. Now, that is truly what I used to think. That somehow I had this body I had to get rid of and then get the spiritual body. This was my beginning. And that was my understanding of Christian Science until I studied more deeply and got the right sense. And then she says, right where body seems to be as matter is the spiritual body. Visible to our consciousness is outline, form, color, substance, function, and permanency. I want to repeat that we should never think of this body, the body we now have, as a material body, and then try to get rid of it or change it. This is a destructive influence. The only thing we want to get rid of is the belief that our bodies are material. That is what you get rid of, the belief of it. And then she says, we never need to fear that our present heart or lungs or kidneys will stop doing what they never have done. And we may rest assured that the divine mind, the enactor of all so-called human functions, will go on functioning eternally. Kidneys as idea must eliminate. Brain as idea must manifest intelligence. Bowels as idea must act. Heart, as the divine idea that it is, must ever beat and circulate. Why? Because these functions forever reflect the one infinite and only organ, the divine mind and its functioning. And I love this, and we've given this often, but do not fear anything your present body seems to be doing. Every cell, fiber, tissue, gland, organ, or muscle of the human body exists right now in the one mind as idea. And each idea is proclaiming, I am reflecting God, I am expressing God. Every cell and fiber of my being is expressing the sovereignty of God or proclaiming, I am. And then she refers to Science and Health, page 162. In other words, she gets these thoughts directly from Science and Health. But this is so important. So when you're thinking about body, that's what you think about. And you will have a very harmonious body. And it's spiritual. It's not material. It appears right now as something material, but it is not. The more you know this, the less complaints your body will give you. It's absolute truth. I know everyone here has proved it in their lives to some degree at various times. So, but you know, we go off track, stay on track, stay in the Father's house, knowing these truths about yourself, all the functionings. And that includes sight, hearing, breathing, walking, everything. It's in God. Keep it there. And then the incredible article, Body, attributed to Mary Baker Eddy. Wrong thinking, he talks about wrong thinking, which is really mental chaos and confusion itself, has no power to create. It does not create conditions of disease. The wrong thinking itself, the mental confusion and chaos itself, is the condition. for the condition is wholly and entirely of that of personal mentality. So that is why I call it thrashing and bashing. When you get feeling like you're thrashing and bashing with error, you are creating a condition. Don't do that. Stop it. And then you think, oh, all that thrashing and bashing, that's why I have a headache, or that's why this or that. It's all belief. The whole thing is belief. Then he goes on, this is Bicknell Young. There is no condition in substance, for substance is God. The inharmonious belief does not create an inharmonious condition. The belief of lack is the lack. The belief of disease is the disease. That is why the body seems to change as man's thinking changes. It is simply as beliefs of disease and imperfections fall away, and our thinking is corrected and held true to truth, so that mental confusion and chaos no longer cloud our vision, we see the body as God sees it, as it is eternally is. Then it stands revealed to us in its beauty and its glory, the temple not made with hands. All that our ignorance does is to affect our vision or view of things. It does not change anything that God has made. And that goes back to what Gary was saying about what we see, how we're seeing things. It's within us. And the kingdom of God is within us. Therefore, we should see things correctly. We do not handle substance through our personal thought to change it. We only see according to our thought, our degree of enlightenment. And then Walt Whitman said, the world is jagged and broken to him who is jagged and broken. And haven't you seen this, you know, that Eeyore mentality? They see everything wrong. There's boogeymen everywhere. And their life is that way. It's within themselves. It's their beliefs rather than their understanding. So the world is jagged and broken to him who is jagged and broken, to him whose mental realm is dark. If one's thought is ignorant and unenlightened, it changes his vision as a cloud of a mist. As he looks through the cloud, he sees this world, the body, all things distorted, abnormal, and wrong. If the mental atmosphere is dark and dense, we see but dimly and are not able to perceive the perfection that is. Man does not by mental effort bring God into manifestation. Neither does he through wrong thinking prevent God's manifestation. God is, and God is manifest, and it is not in the power of unenlightened personal thought or mental effort to obstruct or hinder the activity of God, or to mar or deface the perfection of God's creation. The only thing that depends upon my thinking, the only thing that is affected by it, the only thing that responds to it is my vision, my realization. I may be ignorant of the truth of the body, but that does not alter the body itself. It is whole and perfect now, not because I think it is, but because it is God manifest. Now, that makes so much sense, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I think one thing, Mary, that helps me is to know that these beliefs, I don't have to own them. They're not my beliefs or any personal. Then we're personalizing these beliefs. We know we're not supposed to do it for others, so we have to make sure we do it for ourselves. And when I see this as a universal belief and not my belief, that helps me to know that I don't even have to get it rid of. I don't even have to get rid of it out of my thinking. It's not my thinking. It's universal belief. Mm-hmm. And there's only one mind, which you just read. There's only one mind, and that's my mind. So I couldn't possibly have any of these. So if we see it as universal belief and not personalize it any more than we do with our neighbors and those who ask, then it frees me. And oh my gosh, I don't have to. It's not my belief. It's not attached to me in any way. And I think that's helpful for me.
Very helpful. Yes,
universal. Universal, impersonal. Impersonal beliefs.
Yes.
That's all.
Yes.
And also, you don't have to fear it.
No.
Because it doesn't have the power to change what God created. And you call it a universal belief, but it's really just a mistake. Since the truth is infinite, this is just a mistake.
The powerlessness of it, the powerlessness of it is most helpful for me. To know that it is powerless, that no matter what, it can come as aggressive as it can, but it is powerless.
Thank you.
Exactly. And we don't have to fear it.
Mm-hmm. Air comes to you for life, and you give it all the life it has. And all of these things are how you don't give it any life. It's powerless. It's not your thought. You don't own it. There's one person I know, she's always talking about my mind, or my mind just doesn't get it, or my blood pressure, or my this. I say, you own all this? You don't own any of this. This is, again, what Karen said. This is impersonal belief trying to pin itself on you. It's not you. Don't ever refer to things as my problem even. No, it's not. It's animal magnetism coming to you for life. Don't shut the door. Yes. Don't give it any life.
And the thing is that when we get into one system, we just go deeper into that system. Like if we get into the nutrition, that this is this and this will do that, the deeper we get into it, the more mesmerized we get until we get out of that system.
Thank you.
Into the truth.
That's it. That's eating of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Go ahead.
I think in the Bible when it says that, and we are not of ourselves, we are all that God is, I think that is also so helpful. We are not of ourselves. We are what God is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Our oneness with God. That's why it's emphasized in the morning. Your oneness. You're one with God. God directs you. He knows the way he taketh, and I will walk with him. I love that. It's from that hymn. It's not the other way. I'm going to be walking, and I want God to go with me. You go with and expressing him. And if you express him, that includes your walking. It includes your sight. It includes your health. It includes your skin. It includes your heart. It includes everything. Everything.
Your brain.
Yes, all of it. And that's why the... In recapitulation, Mrs. Eddy's definition of man, you're not made up of brain, blood, bones, and other material elements. Whatever you are, God is. And if God isn't it, then you can't have it. So don't accept it. Stand up straight. Know the truth about yourself and get going. Get cracking, as I say. Don't let these things, as Ingrid said, they pile up on you. The more you read about it or think about it, the more you seem to have it. And that's why we must be diligent in not seeing it or allowing it into our experience. So, and this is the truth about soul and body. And it's throughout this lesson. And you're the expression of soul. I love about the Indians caught some glimpses of the underlying reality when they called a certain beautiful lake the smile of the Great Spirit. So all of these things become conscious for a single moment. That life, intelligence, and intelligence are purely spiritual, neither in nor of matter, and the body will then utter no complaints. If suffering from a belief in sickness, you will find yourself suddenly well. It's belief. And belief is a misconception of something that is true. Like you believe the earth is flat, as we started off with, or you believe that 2 + 2 = 5. It's a belief. It's a misconception. But if you think it's true and you work the problem out with 2 + 2 = 5, you'll get the wrong answer and everything will be all muddled up. So start with the right thought, the truth about it. And how do you get that? You get it by studying your Bible and Science and Health and the works of Mrs. Eddy and then the early workers who just expound on it. So
that's something you said reminded me of this great quote in Science and Health. Be watchful, sober, and vigilant. How amazing is that?
How amazing. Thank you. It's wonderful. Thank you very much. And think about that. And are you being watchful, sober, and vigilant every day? We'll end. Carrie sent some beautiful articles and one on standing at the porter of thought, which is so important because that's the whole thing of it, isn't it? What are you accepting into your consciousness or not? Now, before we end, however, which it's still early, I know, but I have been collecting materials about Doris Greckel. Some of you know she wrote the trilogy about Mrs. Eddy, which is a beautiful work. Karen is recording it, so it's on our audio. We get the books, I guess they're on Amazon. You can get them, three of them.
Yes, certainly David Keeston has them.
And David Keeston has them.
ChristianScience.org.
Thank you. And he knew her. Paul Smiley knew her. And so the reason this is important is these great lights, we don't want them to go out with us knowing as much as we can about them, because these were the more modern early workers, but she was a wonderful independent. So David and Nancy, because Paul Smiley also knew her, this is something that David Keeston sent. He wrote about Doris Greckel. He said, I honestly forgot how I first met her, but it was probably through Paul Smiley. I do know that it was when I found her 3-volume biography on Mrs. Eddy that I then had to communicate with her, as there were many accounts in the 1600 and plus pages that I'd never heard of and wished to know their source. Interestingly, Doris had no phone and never did. She eschewed the use of computers. There were only 2 ways to get a hold of her. One was to phone her sister, who was a Christian Science practitioner, I think it was, or to write her a letter. I first wrote her a letter and began a 20-year correspondence with her. I did actually visit her at one time in Ahwahnee, California, many years ago. I asked Doris more than once where she found the amazing account she had included in her landmark biography. She always demurred and said she simply combed all the issues of the Christian Science Journal, and that was where she gleaned these inspiring facts. I still question if that was the whole of it. However, I mean, there's some thought that she knew someone who had access to the archives, which she was probably protecting, yes. Because she had a wealth of information. And thank God for that person who was, yeah, who was helping her.
Well, I just want to add to that. So one of the criticisms from the Boston Church is that she had no access. Therefore, you cannot rely on anything she wrote.
Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah.
She knew somebody.
He didn't herself, but somebody did.
So. Yeah.
They have that's what they said. Yeah.
That's true.
Too bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. They've bashed David Keeston, and they've bashed Carpenter. Yes. So we don't. Yes. And honestly, people think, I was told recently, they have animosity. I have no animosity, but I do present the facts as I understand them. And I have to do that Who was telling of the foe in ambush? You know, and whatever they do or have done, we forgive. And certainly what they did in our church, excommunicating us. Some people don't seem to understand that we didn't flee from them, but they excommunicated us. We've certainly forgiven that. It was the best thing that ever could have happened to us. So we thank God they did. I'm sure it was all under God's direction.
Jesus said, forgive them. They don't know not what they do.
That's right. Thank you, Craig.
And we have
Thank you for saying all that.
We have to know what they do. And we also have to know why it was a mistake so that we don't make the same mistake.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I feel we discuss it without animosity. If it's taken that way, I mean, I'm sorry, but it's not meant that way. We know an error, as Florence always is saying, we know it's not personal. It's not personal. It's just animal magnetism.
It's not principled either.
It's not principled either. And it must be exposed, because error needs to be exposed in order for what?
To be destroyed.
It's gone under secret for so many years, so we are exposing it. All right. David Keeson goes on. At one point, when I was established with my own nonprofit, Healing Unlimited, and had asked her if she had any other copies of her biography, she said that they were down to a very few. It was then I capitalized on my association with Equus Institute of Claremont, California, and applied to them for a grant to republish her 3-volume biography. As I had published a few of books by that point, I decided new covers for her books and published them prior to the advent of POD, print on demand. Later, when print on demand became a thing, first with CreateSpace and later with Amazon Kindle Enterprise Publishing, who bought CreateSpace as they were the gorilla in the room for POD, Doris's quintessential. Thank you. Biography on Mary Baker Eddy was established on Amazon. In between all of this, of course, Doris had for many years been publishing The Individual Christian Scientist on a quarterly basis. This periodical was really what the Christian Science Sentinel should have been. It was a wonderful publication containing inspiring historical snippets of Mary Baker Eddy and accounts of early workers in the vineyard of Christian Science. There were accounts of healings and other fascinating tidbits that her readership hungered for. Later, when Doris passed on, which I understand was in 2016, and the publishing of this ceased, Healing Unlimited took it upon itself to republish all 30 years of these back issues in 6 large volumes. There's a 7th final volume to be done yet. Now, we have them, and they are beautiful, and another pile of things to read, but something I'm sure very important to read. And Carol got a lot of the Liberator information from one of those volumes about the 5 founding fathers, right?
It was about George Washington.
About George Washington.
All of that, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Additionally, Doris published another book called Principle and Practice. This book, too, Healing Unlimited will be publishing to preserve that part of Doris Greckel's legacy. Overall, she had a significant impact not only on a scholarly approach to recording Mary Baker Eddy's life, but also, and most importantly, knowing exactly how to treat the sacred and inspired history of the greatest woman who ever lived. I will sort of end it there. He goes on a little bit more, but very true. And then, dear Carrie, who honestly, she can find a needle in a haystack. She found a lot of her biographical information. This is from the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. It says, for many years, the author, Doris Greckel, who was a lifelong Christian Scientist, has been seeking to know Mrs. Eddy and to learn her holy history. Though she feels she has little more than begun on this vast search, it has been rewarding beyond expectations. This research has convinced her that an understanding of the trials and triumphs of Mary Baker Eddy is essential for those who would enter in by the door. And then there's also a beautiful testimony. Maybe I'll have Gary end on that. I have so many things here. A testimony that she wrote for the 1947 issue of the Journal, I guess. And also something about her husband, Morris Greckel. A letter that he wrote in the newspaper. He passed on in 2020, and Carrie wrote, "I think he must have loved his wife very much." He was born in Kansas, graduated from Hollywood High School in Los Angeles, California, served in World War II, and attended the Occidental College, from which he likely graduated. And then there was a lot just about her, how she had been born. I'm trying to find all this stuff. I have so many papers. Her father came from Kansas, her mother from Michigan. She had two sisters, Lois and Joy Ellen, and they all lived in Seattle.
Which used to be a good place to live, by the way.
Hey, careful.
Yeah.
Sure. Her father died in 1937 and her mother remarried at the age when Doris was 18. And she opened up a school and in the 1950s, it was called the Doris Greckel School, and it was used to hold Sunday school services for the Institute of Life, later known as the Church of Modern Christianity and the Encino Community Church of Religious Science. And a Dr. Fletcher Harding was a minister. Parents were encouraged to drop their children off to Sunday school at the Doris Greckel School while they attended church service at the Encino Theater on Sundays. And there are numerous newspaper announcements for Dr. Harding's sermons, which she had provided a few samples of that. So she found out actually quite a bit on her, which is interesting to know. And evidently, she was quite the California girl in her later years. So let's see. I'll have Gary read her testimony and then also read this article that Carrie sent. We have time. We have 5 minutes.
Okay, this is from the 1949 Sentinel.
I don't know.
Whatever. Anyway, by Doris Cook Greckel. "Christian Science has ever been my only physician, my guide and guard, and a written acknowledgement of this is long overdue. Riding horseback one evening, I was cantering at a moderate pace when suddenly my horse dashed ahead and raced down the trail. After hour-long minutes of struggling to stop him, I lost my balance and felt myself falling. In my extremity, I turned to the scientific statement of being from page 468 of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. And I know it was the truth alone that kept the fall from being fatal. The injuries sustained were critical, and passersby took me to my home in an unconscious condition with what would without doubt be called a brain concussion and severe internal injuries. Practitioner was called many times that first night as one alarming symptom after another presented itself. Each was met, and by morning I was considerably improved. 2 days later, I returned to work. Many neighbors who had witnessed my condition when I was brought home were amazed to see me completely healed. I am deeply grateful for the consecrated work of the practitioner and for the loving help of friends who aided me during this trial. And I am most grateful to God for his gracious goodness. No pen can half express the debt of gratitude that I feel I owe to our beloved leader, Mrs. Eddy, for giving to the world this wonderful, demonstrable law of God. This is Doris Cook Greckel, Hollywood, California."
So I thank Nancy from Texas, David Keeston, and Carrie for finding this information on her, which we will keep And any of you have any information about anything noteworthy that we can save, I'm very grateful for. So thank you. And now we'll end on a beautiful article that excerpts from an article that Carrie sent us.
Which one do you want me to read, the excerpt or the
excerpt?
The
whole thing? No, the excerpt.
The excerpt?
This. There.
Got it. Okay. This is an excerpt from an article by Nellie Lowther in March of 1925. She writes, "Stand Porter at the door of thought. We all have the opportunity each day to be doorkeepers, to guard our thoughts that no undesirable, unbidden guest enter our mental home, and that to be faithful, we must never desert our post. For troops of guests, thoughts are forever knocking at the door of our consciousness for admittance. Idle thoughts block the way of the useful, helpful ones. Thoughts of prejudice or resentment shut out thoughts of love. Doubt and discouragement take up the place of faith and hope. In short, whether we like to admit it or not, we are choosing to dwell in the tents of wickedness when we allow the entrance of any erroneous thought into our consciousness. If, on the contrary, we hold thought steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true," Science and Health, page 261, "and think of those things of which Paul speaks when he tells us, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think of these things, quote, which are honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report," end quote. We are going far towards establishing in truth the temple or body whose builder and maker is God.
Keep yourself in the love of God this weekend, and thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.